Each of you has followed us here. You've taken up residence in this world, taken your opportunities for pain and pleasure. In hell, you have fought and eaten, screwed and screamed, rejoiced and hated and hurt.
Corpses which have had fresher corpses piled on top of them fight to the surface of the charnel heap, eager to hear the words.
Now, we discover, with, we must admit, a certain perverse delight, that one more comes here. Morpheus of the Endless, the Dream Lord. The news of his visit has crystallized certain matters we have been pondering for millennia. Listen, damned children. This day, Morpheus is coming to us in a futile attempt to free one he loves from our domain.
In her cliffside cage, Nada cries softly as she hears this.
Kaikul.
Some say that one day in hell is much like all the rest. That in this place of flux eternal, nothing changes. But this day in hell, this day you shall all remember forever. And so shall he.
Dream's Throne Room.
Sire, Kane has returned. He has given your message to the Morning Star.
Ah, where is he?
Here, my lord.
Lord Lucifer, I nearly... It was... Can't stop shaking. The look in his eyes. My lord... I gave him your message. He says he'll be waiting for you. He says he's looking forward to it. My lord, he is most terrible. He didn't care about my mark. He just didn't care. He thought it was funny.
Rest, my servant. You have done well.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
My Lord, I beg you to reconsider. Please, it isn't too late.
We do what we must, Lucian. My helm?
Here, sir.
Sometimes we choose the path we follow. Sometimes our choices are made for us. And sometimes we have no choice at all.
Robed and wearing the helmet, with its long snout of vertebrae, Morpheus draws a portal in the air.
Goodbye, Lucian.
Through the portal can be seen a starscape. Morpheus steps through the portal, with the cares of the world on his shoulders, as if he's walking to his doom.
Farewell, my lord.
Dream of the Endless, Lord Morpheus, a tiny figure, cloaked and masked, floats in a misty void. Wisps of vapor drift across the nothingness in his path. There are no stars, no anything, just a billowing mist.
There is a wind that blows between the worlds, a cold wind. It screams silently through the empty places, a nothing wind, traveling from nowhere to nowhere in the uncreated wastes. I am so cold. This is not a place. After all, it is between places. This is nowhere.
He's dressed for war, His cloak is heavy, made of something between leather and cloth. He is wearing gauntlets, solid black boots, shirt and jeans. There's a thick leather belt with the pouch of sand hanging on it, although it is hard to see anything beneath the cloak, which covers him completely. There is no face, just the mask, a twisted thing of metal and bone, with its jutting spine-like beak curving downward under dark, oval eyepieces.
A brief thought. I could stay here. Abandon my quest. Hang here forever in the void, safe and cold and alone. No. We do as we must do.
Already the wind is dying back, signaling the transition from nowhere to where. Already the mists are parting.
Welcome to hell,
I tell myself. Because I am afraid. Welcome to hell.
The Sandman. Act 2, Episode 3.
Season of Mists, Chapter 2. In which the Lord of Dreams returns to Hell, and his confrontation with the Lord of that realm, in which a number of doors are closed for the last time, and concerning the strange disposition of a knife and a key. Dream approaches the gate of hell. This is not the gate he stood before on his previous visit. There are no blooded heads impaled on spikes, no festering body parts adorning the walls. Indeed, there is no sign of life whatsoever. He faces a maze of cyclopean masonry, huge and utterly horrible, a towering immensity of nightmarish architecture. There are blocks and bricks and fragments of statues, sections of skyscrapers and lumps of masonry held up by buttresses the size of entire cathedrals. Dwarfed by this monstrosity, Morpheus walks to the entrance itself, a giant pair of metal-bound wooden doors. About halfway up is a tiny keyhole, far too high to reach.
The doors to hell are legion. There are entrances less well guarded than this one, gates more poorly defended. But I am here as Dream of the Endless. I wear my helm of office. I am Caparison formally. I have no choice but to use the main gate. If necessary, I am prepared to storm the gateway, to force an entry. I have power enough to do it. It is no great task. I can open the doors, even the doors of hell.
There is no need for that. Not now. The gates are open. Unopposed, I enter hell.
Morpheus walks through the gate into the wild plains of hell, littered with fragments of bone and glass and industrial rubbish. A place of infinite desolation. His cloak blows around him.
The landscape of hell is mutable if one has authority. And I have certain authority, even here. Warily,
I feel for the place I seek. Nada is held in the cliffs that circle Weep Not, in a barred cell carved from rock, lined with needle-sharp shards of volcanic glass. There is no food or water in that place. I suppose that she must be hungry. She must have been very hungry for a long time.
I find my destination. And in finding it, I am there.
Dream holds onto the cliff face with one gloved hand. He edges his way along a narrow path. It is no more than 6 inches wide, winding around a vertical chimney of rock.
Strange. I cannot believe that my task can be this simple, but perhaps it will be.
He passes prison cells, their bars studded with thorns, sharpened bone, barbed wire, and shards of glass.
Perhaps I will simply inform Nada that she is free, and we will leave this place together, unchallenged and unharmed. Perhaps...
He reaches the cell, inside which Nada has been sealed for more than 10 millennia. He peers into the gloom.
Nada! Nada!
And I think...
They have taken her. They have hidden her from me.
And then I think...
There is something deeply wrong. Even for Hell, there is something wrong.
Dream steps off the ledge. He remains upright, floating in the fell wind that blows around the chimney of cliff face cells.
I listen. Silence. Pure and dead. I feel with my mind nothing. It is not just Nada who has gone. They have all gone. The dead and the neverborn. All of them. Where are they? Where is she?
What trickery is this? Lucifer! Lucifer!
Yes?
Dream and Lucifer face each other, hanging in midair over the empty plain of Hell.
Lucifer, where is she? What have you done to her? Where have you hidden her?
Hello, Dream. Take off that silly helmet and we'll talk.
I will not be tricked by you, Lucifer Morningstar.
Why, sweet Morpheus. Are you scared of me?
Yes.
Very well. Then I give you my word that while we are within the bounds of Hell, I will do nothing to harm you. There. Now take off your helmet, and I'll tell you what's happened to your lady love and the rest of them.
Very well.
There. Much better.
Dream's helmet has faded into nothingness. Morpheus looks thin, apprehensive. His hair is lank, his fringe damp with sweat, as he stares at Lucifer warily. They are two tiny figures floating opposite each other in space. One has huge, ragged wings, the other a billowing cloak. The Lord of Dreams in black, a creature of darkness. The Lord of Darkness, a creature of pure light. It occurs to us that the curls of hair upon the fallen angel's head could almost be horns.
Now, do you still want to know what's going on?
Yes.
Isn't it obvious, Dream King?
No. I've quit. I'm sorry. What was that?
Dream is bewildered.
Honestly, Morpheus, you need not stare at us. At me, rather. With that ridiculous expression on your face.
I do not understand. There is some trick here, some stratagem, some ruse.
No. I've stopped. I've resigned. I'm leaving. Can I make myself any plainer?
You refer to yourself in the singular, Morningstar.
Exactly. I am no king, Morpheus. Not anymore.
They descend to the plain below them, alighting gently.
Look, if you wander around with me for a bit, I'll explain the whole thing to you. There are a few things I have to do on the way, though. Do you mind?
Do I have a choice?
Of course you do. Either you can sit here and wait, and when I've finished, I'll come back and pick you up, or you can travel beside me.
I will come with you.
Good. Let's see. There's a final holdout soul in the slabs above the starving Jubilee. We'll tackle him first, shall we? Then the last few demons, then the gates, and then we're done.
Lucifer? It seems to go on forever. How big is hell?
Below them is a twisted landscape, like a nightmare city spread out on a table.
How big? It's vast. Well, even I couldn't say for certain exactly how vast. It's almost a meaningless question. Like asking how big the Silver City is, or how many are the fields of paradise.
They fly past a sharp, strange mountain range, jutting upwards like a mouthful of broken teeth. Below it is a dark, still lake. The mountains are reflected in the water.
This realm is Heaven's shadow, remember? Or, more precisely perhaps, Heaven's dark reflection. A landscape hanging inverted in the waters of a lake.
They float over a hand-carved stone slab. Spread-eagled on the vertical stone of the slab, about 100 feet up, is a naked man.
Ah, here we are.
The figure bound to the slab is a strongly built man with a light, patchy beard. He is naked, held down by fish hooks on chains which dig deep into the skin and flesh of his face and lips and body, fastening him to the rock surface. Foot-long metal nails have been hammered through his wrists and forehead. Two hooks pierce his eyelids, holding the eyes perpetually open. He is in pain and in rage.
You! Did you not hear my proclamation? You are free.
I will not leave.
The wounds are crusted with scabs, the hooks and chains pulling his features out of shape.
Oh, but you will leave.
Do not understand. I am Breschau.
So?
I am receiving my just punishment for my crimes committed while I was alive. For my crimes were monstrous things.
Oh, I don't care about your crimes. I want you out of here.
Demon, I will not be fooled by your prattle. I am Breschau of Livonia. I ripped out the tongues of those who spoke against me and cut the unborn babes from the wombs of my enemies' women, that they would not become warriors to rise against me.
To Morpheus's astonishment, despite the hooks in the corners of his eyes and the nails through his ears, Breschau is grinning, reveling in describing his crimes. He is enjoying his torture.
I took my mother by force, and I strangled my sister when she would not consent to my advances. Soon, my name was whispered in the night by mothers to terrify their babes into obedience. I am Breschau, who bathed in the blood of children. I am Breshaw, who forced the true prophets of the Lord to dance upon plates of iron under which fires were burning, and I laughed as they danced. I am Breshaw, and when my mistress was unfaithful, I cut the nose from her face and wore it about my neck. As for the woman, I had her sewn to her lover, and skin to skin I left them in the desert to be eaten by the ravens, and I laughed as I heard them scream, I am Breshaw, and this is my punishment!
You must go.
Did you not hear me, fiend? I have killed...
I heard. You killed a number of people who by now would be long since dead anyway, so what? You've been chained to this slab for 1,100 years. Haven't you tortured yourself enough?
It's not me that's torturing me. It's the vengeance of the Lord. Did you not hear?
And Breshaw, yes, I know. But no one today remembers Breshaw. No one! I doubt one living mortal in 100,000 could even point to where Livonia used to be on a map. The world has forgotten you.
But I am...
Enough. Go.
Where has he gone?
Away. Now, down to the waning strand for the last few stragglers.
Lucifer, I do not understand.
But it's perfectly plain, Morpheus. It's over.
The waning strand. A beach in hell. Made of pebbles. Pebbles which are tiny skulls. Three demons are clustered around a small fire made of driftwood. The dark wavelets lap sulkily at their feet. One of the demons is a praying mantis with the head of a fox, its muzzle elongated like that of a sturgeon. This is Katili. Next to it is Rimon. A man-sized newborn baby, with a snake rising up out of its lower stomach, the cobra head peering viciously around. The other is a human male, wearing a business suit, whose head bears the compound eyes of a common housefly. The fire burns green and blue and yellow.
Wait, Dream. These are the last that I have to deal with. You, little demons, you heard my order. Why are you not gone from this place?
Lord, we...
The baby-headed thing, Rimon, has grasped Katili with one hand. Its baby head lolls to one side uselessly, but the snake head is raised, and it speaks.
Don't answer him, Katili.
I say what I like, Rimon, my petal. Why? Because I do not believe that this pathetic creature is truly our Lord Lucifer. Would the Lord of Hell destroy his realm? Would the Lord of Hell ever free the souls held in torment? Would the Lord of Hell expel the Neverborn? Would the Lord of Hell abandon the war with Heaven?
The Lord of Hell will do what he damn well likes. Leave now, all of you.
Lucifer and Dream are alone. The little fire is still burning, smoking gently. The demons are gone and the beach deserted.
There. Those are the last of them. We're the only entities left in hell, Morpheus. I was the first one here. And it looks like I'm going to be the last.
Lucifer, what is happening?
I keep telling you, Dream Lord. It's over. I am leaving. And I have closed down hell.
How? How can you even...
Easy. 10 billion years I've spent in this place. That's a long time. And we've all changed since the beginning. Even you, Dreamlord. Oh, you were very different back then.
Perhaps, Prince Lucifer.
They stop at a large boulder on the edge of the beach. Lucifer sits upon it, pensively.
You can forget the honorifics. Rank never mattered to me, not really. But the demons expected it, which is one reason I've quit. There are others. I'm tired, Morpheus. So tired.
From his boulder, Lucifer looks down at Dream on the beach below. Unconsciously, perhaps, Lucifer has assumed the role of king with a courtier, the beach his palace, the rock his throne.
You knew me, Dream. You knew me when I was an angel. What was I like?
You were very proud, Samael. But you were also very beautiful, and wise, and passionate.
Was I? Yes, I was. I cared about so many things. I cared so deeply back then. In the cold, the beginning of things, in the Silver City.
Lucifer remembers. He remembers being an angel, beautiful, holding a flaming sword, staring up at the face of God defiantly.
I suppose that was why everything began to go wrong. You know, I still wonder how much of it was planned, how much of it he knew in advance. I thought I was rebelling. I thought I was defying his rule. No. I was merely fulfilling another tiny segment of his great and powerful plan. If I had not rebelled, another would have in my stead. Raguel, perhaps, or Sandalphon.
In Lucifer's memory, the fall from heaven is a long, tumbling descent through endless dark, his wings shredding.
We fell, my comrades in arms and I. Fell so far, so long.
They landed in the bubbling mud of hell, their wings in ruins, all the feathers burned away, leaving leathery stumps behind.
I knew then that there was no way that I would ever return to paradise. But I'm wool gathering. I apologize. You do not mind if I work as we talk? There are no more entities left within the bounds infernal. But I need to secure the last gate.
No. No, I do not mind.
I have sealed or erased most of the gateways. There are only a few I need to secure personally.
They stand in a medieval torture chamber, open to the sky. Behind them, a brick wall. Set into it, a wooden door.
Some entrances can only be locked by the ruler of their world.
Lucifer holds a large key, black and weathered, about 6 inches long. It does not look out of place here. Its pockmarked blade is studded with sharp, thorny teeth.
You also rule a world, Morpheus. A world of sleepers and dreamers, of stories. A simple place compared to hell. I envy you. Can you imagine what it was like? Even just in this room. The rack. The hot irons. The meat hooks. The thumb screws. 10 billion years spent providing a place for dead mortals to torture themselves. And like all masochists, they called the shots. Burn me! Freeze me! Eat me! Hurt me! And we did. Come.
The new location is a palace built of oozing, glistening flesh. Lucifer walks to a doorway of sagging, moist pink tissue. Morpheus follows. It would be hard to imagine anything human using such an entrance.
And then there were the demon kind. Imagine being their lord and master. A handful of them were once angels who fell with me at the dawn. Others strayed here from elsewhere over the eons, making this place a home.
Lucifer locks the flesh door with the key.
And soon I found myself their lord and master, a million of them or more, squabbling and warring and carrying on. I watched their strange little fashions, the centuries they spent wearing the bodies of animals, the ridiculous vogue for rhyme to denote status. Demons who spoke exclusively in villanelles, haiku, or triolets. And above all, the fashion in intrigue. This way.
They stand in a grassy field by a low stone wall with a rough wooden gate in it. Lucifer pulls it shut.
In the beginning, I enjoyed it. I am more powerful than any of them. I could have destroyed any of them, perhaps even all of them, without much effort. So I manipulated them, set them one against the other, let them faction and divide and plot. But I grew weary, Dreamlord. Mightily weary. I ceased to care. There.
The office is modern, at the top of a tall building. There are chairs, a desk with a computer, some papers, and a plush carpet. They could be in New York City, but the view from the long glass picture window is of hell's bleak mountains and pinnacles of rock.
And the mortals, oh! I ask you, why? Tell me that, why?
Why what, first among the fallen?
Why do they blame me for all their little failings? They use my name as if I spend my entire day sitting on their shoulders, forcing them to commit acts they would otherwise find repulsive. Oh, the devil made me do it. I've never made one of them do anything, never. They live their own tiny lives. I do not live their lives for them.
Lucifer has moved to the office's door. He locks it with the key.
And then they die and they come here, having transgressed against what they believe to be right, and expect us to fulfill their desire for pain and retribution. I don't make them come here. I mean, they talk of me going around and buying souls like a fishwife come market day, never stopping to ask themselves why. I need no souls. And how can anyone own a soul? No, they belong to themselves. They just hate to have to face up to it.
They walk back towards the main gate through which Morpheus entered. Its improbable architecture piled treacherously overhead.
Yes, I rebelled. It was a long time ago. How long was I meant to pay for that one action? So now it's over. I have sent all of them away. All of Hell's inhabitants.
Where have you sent them?
Away, I don't care where they've gone. Heaven, Earth, Limbo, the Far Realms, who knows? But they won't be coming here anymore. Hell is over.
They emerge from the gate and stand outside the wall of Hell. A misty fog is forming around them. A chill is in the fetid air. Lucifer pulls the great door closed.
And what will you do now?
I don't know. To be honest, Dreamlord, I have not given it much thought. I could not return to the Silver City, even if I wished to. I could never again be an angel. Innocence, once lost, can never be regained. What will I do now? Well, I could lay on a beach somewhere, perhaps. Listen to music. Build a house. Learn how to dance. Or to play the piano. It matters not. I have had my fill of the old life. And that's all I care about. Strangely enough, Dreamlord, I owe my decision to you.
To me?
Yes, to you. It was when I heard you were coming. That was what gave me the impetus to do this. To do what I should have done millennia ago. Perhaps this is the ultimate freedom, eh, Dreamlord? The freedom to leave?
I thought that we would fight Prince Lucifer.
Lucifer rises and inserts the key into the lock, high above Dream, almost lost in the fog.
Fight? No. No fighting. I'm tired of fighting, Morpheus.
But your responsibilities.
I have no responsibilities. Not anymore.
He turns the key.
There. That was the last of the gates. All entrances and exits are sealed. Hell is closed.
My lord, Lucifer!
A shape emerges from the thickening fog. It is Mazikeen, the demon woman. One side of her face belongs to a beautiful female human, perfectly made up, her hair shaggy and braided. The other side of her face is a mess of smashed skull and brain. There is no eye, and the teeth are exposed as are the tendons of her neck. The remnants of one ear sticking incongruously out, a gold earring hanging from the lobe, miraculously untouched. She carries the long, jagged knife that she last held at Cain's throat in Lucifer's palace.
Greetings, my lord.
Mazikeen, why are you still here? And I'm your lord no longer, child.
No, you are still my lord. I will not forsake you. I love you, master.
Oh, I am no longer your master, Mazikeen. But you may love me, if you wish. Let me introduce you. Dream of the Endless, this is Mazikeen, a daughter of Lilith. Mazikeen, this is Dream.
Lucifer, where you go, I will follow. Let me go with you, please. I must stay by your side forever.
Stay by my side? Mazikeen. Give me a knife.
Fire? Of course.
Mazikeen, you may not go with me. I'm sorry. I do not know where I'm going. But wherever I go, I will be traveling alone. Come close to me.
Fire?
Kiss me.
The kiss is tender and passionate between the fallen angel and his half-headed warrior succubus. It is deep, erotic, sensual, and disgusting.
It is enough for me to know that you care for me, Mazikeen. I thank you. Now go.
Yes, Lord.
Goodbye, Mazikeen. You are very beautiful. Morpheus, take the knife. You must cut off my wings. It is the last thing that needs doing. Please, do this thing for me.
Very well, Lucifer. If that is truly what you wish... Lucifer, I came here for a woman. To free her. To apologize to her. Her name is Nada. She was...
Now the other. Yes. I remember her.
Where is she, Morningstar?
Out there. Somewhere. There are so many of them.
all my little disembodied refugees fluttering away through the dimensions.
Lucifer's back bears two long, deep wounds that begin to scar over, even as Morpheus steps away, holding the dripping knife.
And what will they do on Earth? I wonder, when the dead start coming back.
What?
Lucifer stands before the Lord of Dreams naked, a being created genderless and perfect at the beginning of the universe. His hands hang by his sides, one holding the key to hell. Mist swirls about them.
Perhaps you'll find the woman Nada drinking. I wish you luck. Now, you return to your realm, and I will take my leave of mine. Oh! Morpheus, I swore once that I would destroy you, did I not?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Well, we are now outside the bounds of hell. This is for you, Dreamlord. Take it.
The key to hell.
Exactly. It's yours now. Perhaps it will destroy you and perhaps it won't. But I doubt it will make your life any easier. It's all yours now, Morpheus. You're the sole monarch of a locked and empty hell. Perhaps I ought to have given it to you with my best wishes. I could have told you that I hoped it would bring you happiness. But somehow I doubt it will.
Asgard, home of the Norse gods. In the High Hall of Gladsheim, Odin, the Lord of the Aesir, sits on a huge wooden chair, looking out through his one good eye, the left one, and drinks from a goblet made of gold, ornamented with jewels. The floor of the High Hall is dirt, scattered with rushes. It is a gloomy space, woven from rushes and smoke and mud. Any 9th century Norwegian would recognize it as a great palace. Odin wears a leather jerkin with a heavy leather belt, his leggings bound by leather thongs. His face is long and thin and drawn. Odin looks dangerous. Like an aging hired killer. He is waiting for thought and memory to return to him. At his feet, two great grey wolves attend him. Lacking thought and memory, he could not even name them. He sits and waits, the gallows god, the one-eyed king of Asgard. There is a fluttering of wings. The ghost birds return to his shoulder. The ragged, grey, transparent raven hardly begins to whisper its message, and instantly he knows. He knows all they've seen. Hugin and Munin. Thought and memory. And he smiles, the Lord of the Gallows.
At last.
The mead he drinks is not the mead of the Aesir. It is his mead, brewed by dwarfs from dead Kvasir's blood, a draught of liquid verse and madness. It is the mead of Odin, the Allfather, and none but Odin may drink of it. He drains the goblet. And he is gone.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 4.
Season of Mists, Chapter 3, in which Lucifer's parting gift attracts unwanted attention, and the Dream Lord receives unwelcome visitors. There is a cavern beneath the world. This is true. You must know in your bones that this is true, although all logic argues against it. There is a cavern beneath the world, and in that cavern a man is bound upon a slab. In the cavern, there is also a woman and a snake. The woman is called Sigyn. The snake has no name. All around them is the pit, a black emptiness, which falls away in every direction. The snake is huge and evil-looking, hanging high in the darkness of the cavern, curled around an elaborate rock formation. It has a big triangular head, its eyes staring, fangs extended, tongue flickering. Green poison drips from its mouth. The woman has lank hair that may once have been yellow. She is thin to the point of emaciation, with sunken cheeks and matchstick arms, dark circles beneath her eyes. She holds a metal bowl above the man's head. The snake's venom drips from its open mouth. It falls into the bowl. The man is naked. He is bound with the frozen, bloody entrails of his son. Their son, the woman Sigyn, is his wife. The bowl fills gradually. When it is full, the woman walks carefully past the stalagmites that surround the slab and empties it into the pit. Whilst she is gone, the snake's venom drips onto the man's face. He twists and writhes as the poison eats into his flesh. His head is thrown back in pain, trying to avoid the drips of venom. See those scars around his mouth? Those were the holes made when Brock the dwarf sewed his lips together. But that pain was nothing to this. He screams as the poison drips into his eyes. And when he writhes, the earth quakes. Sigyn returns to hold the bowl over him again.
Useless whore, daughter, sluggardly crone, fox, ruined twig, excrement brain.
He curses the woman, but still she stays with him. The man, the woman, the snake, the bowl. It's not nice or pretty, but it's true, and it's necessary. It has been going on for a very long time, but that is about to change.
Enough!
From nothingness, Odin stands on the plateau, leaning on his tall wooden staff, wide-brim hat covering both his one good eye and its companion socket.
Snake, hold your venom.
The snake winds itself back in the shadows above.
have you come here? Glad of war? To gloat at my misfortune, eh? To pass the time?
No, Loki Skywalker. I have come to talk with you.
And what makes you think I have anything to say to you, eh, blood brother? Or have you forgotten that we mingled our blood, That you swore in Amir's bones that we two were one forever?
Loki, Wolf Father, if there had been any other way, do you not think I would have taken it? But free, you would be dangerous to all of us. You are too clever, too wily, and too malevolent to be unconfined.
If I am so clever, why am I still bound here, eh? Eh, blood brother?
Ragnarok has not yet come, Loki. It has been said that Loki will be bound until Ragnarok, when the Fimbulwinter will freeze the world, when great wolves will eat the sun and the moon, when the giants will ride to war on a ship made of dead men's nails.
And on that day, Loki will break his bonds and fight Heimdall, and they both will die. Yeah, I know the old tales as well as you do, Gallows God. So?
It need not happen, Loki. Perhaps Asgard will be destroyed, but we can be gone.
Go where? To Jotunheim, where the giants live? To Svartalfheim, where the dark elves hide? To Nidavellir, where the dwarfs toil? All those places will fall as Asgard falls.
We can go to the hell of Lucifer.
Will you go to war against the fallen Odin? Oh, you've become senile, old man.
No. No war. Lucifer has abdicated. His domain lies empty. A protectorate of the Dreamweaver. It could be ours for the grasping. I need you, Loki.
Yes. Yes, you do. I am with you then, Odin. For now.
And they are gone. Sigyn sits by the rock slab in the dark cavern, the bowl beside her. She rests her head in her arm. She weeps, feeling suddenly undefined. Loki has gone. Stripped of their function, his lovers wait in the cavern beneath the world. The woman, the snake, waiting for him to return. Dream's throne room.
He's taking too long.
It's 3 minutes since you last said that.
I only just escaped from there with my life.
Oh, come on! You had a get-out-of-jail-free card.
A what?
It's on his forehead, Lucien. The mark of Cain.
Oh, that.
There are no free passes with Lucifer, Matthew. There's always a price to pay.
I am back.
Did you win?
No, Lucien.
Was there a fight? Did you get the woman you were looking for? Did Lucifer give you any trouble?
No. No, and no.
So, what happened, Lord?
I will tell you later.
Asgard. Thor is very strong, not very bright. He raises the hammer high over his head. He is angry. He smashes a boulder into splintered pebbles. His hair is wild and tangled, his beard a mess, his muscles distending the leather jerkin and leggings he wears.
And you trust him?
No, I do not trust him, Thunder God, but I need him. And I need you to keep him from betraying us all.
Odin leans on his staff. Loki, dressed in a belted tunic, looks much recovered from his ordeal.
But aren't you pleased to see me? Ah, it's been 1,200 years, cousin.
I'm no cousin of yours, Loki Will's father. And if you try anything, trickster, I'll split your skull. I'll smash your bones. I think this whole affair is addle-headed. But I will harness my goats.
Thor secures his chariot to two large and powerful-looking goats. He climbs aboard. Odin follows.
On Tangnost! On Tangristi! To Dreamland!
The chariot takes flight.
Aye! To Dream!
With Loki following them. The Dreaming. Morpheus's private quarters are accessed by a staircase of thin, unconnected glass slabs. The room takes up a whole floor of the Dream Palace. It is large and airy, with huge windows. There are couches and objets d'art. One is a statue of a griffin, made of white marble, a perfect analogue of the griffin who helps guard Dream's castle gate outside. There is a full-length mirror hanging in the middle of the room, irregularly shaped, with a frame of twisted bone. Morpheus stands in the center of the room, near the mirror. On his white, outstretched hand rests the twisted black key Lucifer gave him. The key to hell.
The key to hell.
Exactly. It's yours now. Perhaps it will destroy you and perhaps it won't. But I doubt it will make your life any easier.
After a moment, he raises his hand and gestures at the shards of mirror on the floor. It is whole again. Morpheus settles on the floor, in the center of the vast space, disconsolate. He looks thin and lonely. Just a man in black, holding a key. With Lucifer's abdication from hell, a vacuum has opened up. The Endless and the Old Gods are just two of the powerful factions whose actions affect us all, yet exist entirely independently of humankind. The entities who describe themselves as Lords of Chaos and Lords of Order have also been alerted to the news. They are opposing forces of mystical energy and have been locked in contention for millennia. Order.
Shift the balance. Pristine domain. Hasty reaction. Needed.
If this is true, do you carry so counsel?
Chaos.
Shift has occurred in balance. We need to act first.
Order.
The Dream King is vulnerable. He will confer on us our honor. We covet.
Ruthven
will be ambassador.
Chaos.
He will give us want. An envoy.
Order.
Kill the king.
Of order.
Yes.
Chaos.
Hello, Brigade.
Chaos.
It is some time later in Dream's palace. Morpheus stands in his gallery. On its walls hang framed portraits or sculpted emblems of Dream's six siblings. In the first is a book, in the second an Ankh, in the third his own face staring back at him, in the fourth a blank, in the fifth a stylized heart, and in the sixth a signet ring with a fishhook in it. The final frame, Deliriums, contains a swirl of wild colors. Morpheus walks to the Ankh, pulls it from the wall, and addresses the frame that held it.
My sister, I stand in my gallery and I hold your sigil. Will you talk to me?
Death's pale elfin face, with its dark eye makeup and lipstick, her black hair tousled, forms in the frame.
Hiya, big brother. What's happening? But make it fast, I'm in kind of a hurry.
She rests her elbows on the frame, leaning forward into Dream's gallery, as if the frame were a window into her own realm.
My sister, once you berated me for not calling on you when I had a problem, and now I have another problem, and I am coming to you for advice.
Shoot? I mean, tell me what's wrong.
Yes. I went to hell, sister, to free the woman Nada.
I know, you went to hell and you found Lucifer had turfed everyone out.
You know?
Of course I know. And he gave you hell. The most desirable plot of psychic real estate in the whole order of created things, and it's now all yours.
So what do you advise me to do?
Do? How should I know? What do you want to do? Open a skiing resort? Turn it into a theme park? Sell it to the highest bidder? It's your choice. You've got the place. What do you want to do with it?
I don't know.
You'll figure something out, and soon, I hope. Look, I have to run. There's a whole can of worms opened up here, and no one else seems to know anything about it. I'm doing what I can. But the dead are coming back, little brother. The dead are coming back.
Far below the Silver City, the universe glitters and glistens like a child's toy. From this vantage point, galaxies coil and gleam like multicolored jewels as distant nebulas flicker and pulse. The Silver City, it cannot be visited. The City of the Angels. Beautiful, elegant, clean. It has a numinous feel, overwhelming in the same way that the gates of hell are. But instead of terror, it inspires awe. It is a place of towering silver spires. The buildings rise, minarets, domes, and towers, and flying around them, some near to us, some further away, are the angels. The inhabitants of the city were created in the same breath as the city itself, in the darkness before time. Before the first dawn, the Silver City was. It is not paradise. It is not heaven. No stars twinkle in the void around it. It exists beyond our universe. It is the Silver City that is not part of the order of created things. The inhabitants of the city are beautiful, as if carved out of marble. Perfect faces, white robes, huge wings, waiting, motionless, contemplating perfection. They possess names and identities. Perhaps they possess something we might recognize as free will. Perhaps not. Now two of them take wing. Duma, Angel of Silence, and Remiel, who is set over those who rise. Together they soar, abandon the Silver City, abandon their contemplation. They fly together, in perfect unison, shining wings bearing them effortlessly across the void. Two angels falling through the darkness toward the world. But there is another kind of darkness in which float, almost randomly, eyes and teeth. They seem like they belong to different people, although they're all the same size, eye-sized and mouth-sized, and they all dwell within the demon called Azazel.
We are outcasts. We are exiles. We are the dispossessed. For too long we have been downtrodden. No longer brothers, sisters, others. All of us, at this moment, in this our trough of despair, it may seem like the greatest setback we have ever experienced.
Azazel. A man-sized rip in space, ragged-edged, a dark hole filled with eyes and teeth. It has two vaguely arm-like appendages at each side, and it floats a few feet off a rocky outcrop in the grey mists of limbo.
But it is the greatest opportunity. Yesterday we were creatures of hell. Today we are homeless, banished to this drear limbo. But tomorrow, oh glorious tomorrow, tomorrow we shall have hell again as our domain. But this time will be different. No longer will we be enthralled to a fallen angel. No longer shall we be vassals of some shifting triumvirate.
Clustered around Azazel's rock are demons. Demons of every shape and kind. Evil, strange, unpleasant things of every size, gender, and type. Some are naked, some in dinner suits, some incapable of wearing clothes. They stare up at the nothingness of Azazel, which raises a pseudo-limb high in salute. The demons cheer him on.
This will be a new hell, a forward-looking hell that recognizes individual worth, in which a demon can raise its head, or any other important member, high, and say, "This is my land, and no one is ever going to take it away from me again." Today, I will go to the Dream King, and I will demand he give us, return to us, the land that is rightfully ours. And I will not go alone. With me will go the Merkin, she whose womb spawns spiders. The Merkin has been my aid in...